Welcome to AMA Edgewise. I'm Dave Summers. AMA Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. On today's program, we're talking to Sander A. Flaum. In addition to founding and being the principal at Flaum Navigators, he's also on faculty at Fordham University. And more importantly, he's author of a new book entitled The Best Thing That Ever Happened to You, How a Career Reversal Can Reinvigorate Your Life. Sander Flaum, welcome to Edgewise.
Good to be with you.
Got a bunch of questions here about this. Let's just jump in. What's the biggest myth today about the job market?
Well, the biggest myth, David, to me, is you can't find jobs. Everyone's downsizing. But the fact of the matter is, if you're a salesperson, for example, and you have been over quota in your career, and the company's closing down, you'll always find a job. Everybody wants a salesperson who will go over quota and bring value. If you're a research person and has come up with some great new products, the company may be closing or may be acquired, you'll always find the job. So it depends upon the value that you bring, but jobs are always there for winners, and people have to keep that in mind.
So the side story on that is be a winner. What happens to people who lose their job? What are some of the negative emotions they go through?
Having been a CEO for a large advertising agency, a global agency before this, what I've seen among many of my clients has a lot of anger, depression, retribution. I'm going to get that person. I have something on her or I have something on him and I'm going to get him for this. And a lot of unfocused behavior. That's usually what happens to these people.
Kind of like the sad and the mad, you kind of get mixed up into a soup.
Exactly, exactly. And that's what you see.
So, Sander, how do you convert these negative emotions to positive action? And to whom do you try to reach out for advice for the next opportunity?
Well, what happens to many, at least many, many senior people who have gone through this, many have sought out some kind of psychiatric therapy to get them through this, which I recommend,
you're,
by the way.
Straight-up therapy.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
A psychologist, a psychiatrist, somebody to help you through the emotional roller coaster you're going through.
Because you have to remember, David, that you only have so many hours in a day. And how are you going to spend your time during the day? Are you going to be angry? Is it always about, I'm going to get that person? Or are you going to really focus on positive behavior during these productive hours of the day of trying to carve a new chapter in your life? So besides therapy, which I do recommend, you want to speak to people you trust, colleagues. You want to maybe speak to a former superior to whom you reported to get some good advice and start really to reach out. That's the key thing, really reaching out to everyone you know for some advice.
Depending upon what type of personality you have, I mean, many people are so used to doing things on their own. This whole idea of going to someone else for help or for assistance or for whatever is going to be a pretty tough order for them.
Well, it is tough. That's why I would always suggest that you seek some good therapy just to help you through it, because we just spend too many hours being angry and being depressed. Because now what do I do? I mean, I've been with this company forever and ever and ever. Now what?
What are some of the most common mistakes that people make when they're pitching themselves to potential employers and recruiters?
The most common mistake that I have seen, you know, being with a lot of MBAs at Fordham and being a CEO of a large global agency, is people don't take time to brand themselves. Who are they? I mean, what have they done? What have they accomplished? So branding yourself is really, really important. And you have basically 15 seconds to say what you've done that really distinguishes yourself from everyone else. And I think that's the most common mistake. You meet with a recruiter and who are you? Well, let me tell you what I've done at this company, blah, blah, blah. Who cares? You're just average. So you have to start branding yourself.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty tall order, though. Yeah. I mean, branding yourself means what? It means blogging? It means tweeting? It means writing a book? What does it mean?
Well, we do a good job, David, and we who have worked for big companies, a good job in how to brand the firm, how to brand the product, a terrible job in branding yourself. So if you said, okay, Santa, so why don't you tell me a little bit about you? Well, I've introduced more major products in the pharmaceutical industry than anyone else, more products that have done $1 billion plus, and that's what I've done. That's the branding.
Okay. So let's go the next rung on the ladder here. What's the single most important thing you have to do to distinguish yourself from the other competitors, you know, to make yourself more marketable?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you begin that process?
Well, you begin the process by doing a lot of research first, a lot of research first on the firm with whom you are interviewing, to really try and ascertain what their issues are before you walk into the interview. Number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then you do some research on the people or person with whom you're interviewing. So try and find something in common. Remember, it's always about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you can focus on building a relationship with the people with whom you are speaking,
mm-hmm.
that puts you out in front. Relationship building is key.
Okay. I'm going to play devil's advocate here. How should I use my resume or CV to sell myself? What should I stress or not stress?
Most of the CVs that I see are just awful. It lists job, 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 and here's what I did. And this job, this job, this job, this job. These are the products that I handle. This is the research that I've done. I taught school. I was a professor. I was a dean, blah, blah, blah. People don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's always about WIIFM. What's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
Resumes should have major accomplishments in it. Nobody cares about the job title, mm-hmm. how many jobs you've had with a different company. Tell me what you did to stand out. You're working for me. I want to hire someone who's going to make me look good.
Mm-hmm.
So the focus is always on your resume, WIIFM.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he going to love my CV more than anyone else? What can I do for her?
What does a recruiter, for whatever field, look for in a job applicant?
They never want to disappoint their client. Remember, it's not about you. It's not about them. It's about the client that the recruiter works for. So they think you have to make this client happy. And again, it goes back to what you've done in the past.
Mm.
The accomplishments and the reputation, and it's about the reputation that you have. They're not even going to interview you.
Okay.
Without a reputation.
All right, let's take this down the road a little bit further and say, to use almost like a grocery analogy or something like that, the freshest bananas or something like that with no brown spots. A piece of that is not only the accomplishments and it's not only the deliverables and the material and stuff like that. Isn't it also the packaging? I mean,
mm-hmm.
how this person presents themselves
very,
and
very
interacts with and how they appear.
Very, very much so. And I know we're going to chat about that appearance mm-hmm. and what you need to do to rehearse
okay.
that interview. But again, recruiters are just interested in one thing, their client. So
mm-hmm.
it's about, will you blend in with that client? Will you fit with that client?
Mm-hmm.
What is your appearance? It's very, very important. Do you have that slight Bill Clinton smile on your face when you speak? Are you sitting back in your chair with
mm-hmm.
your legs crossed? And when your legs are crossed, are you sure the socks the man is wearing comes up to his calf so his ankles are not exposed?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a shine on your shoes?
Right.
I mean, what does your hair look like?
Exactly.
Appearance comes across as very, very important. But the key thing is, will my client, because I know my client well,
right.
they're paying me well, they're paying me a third
right.
of my first year's salary,
right.
is my client going to like you?
Right.
That's key.
Okay. What are some key strategies to consider in preparation for the job interview?
Try and find out first who the client is so you can do some research. And the other thing that's really key is how you interview. We talked about that slight Bill Clinton smile on your face. We talked about smart people speak slowly, not at a rapid pace. You speak very slowly. The slower you speak, the smarter you sound. If you go back and listen to the great speakers of our time, they speak very slowly. And that's number one. Rehearsal. Rehearse the interview first. Don't go in there blind. Meet with a colleague, meet with a mentor, and rehearse and role play. And the most important thing is, during interviews, is that a recruiter speaks 80% of the time, you speak 20% of the time. That means the recruiter is having a great conversation with you. Mm-hmm. They're talking more than you. Mm-hmm. And if, the last thing is prepare the right questions. Mm-hmm. Prepare the right questions to ask the recruiter. And one of the key things is, could you tell me what the expectations are of the job? Well, you know, Sandra, that's a very interesting question. Why are you asking that? Mm-hmm. Well, it's important because not only have I met expectations, my goal is always to exceed them. That's why I'm asking the question.
What are some of the techniques job employers and recruiters use on interviews to ferret out the A candidate from the B or C candidate? What kind of tricks they play? What do they do to, you know, make the cream rise to the top?
Well, one of the key things would be, okay, David, could you tell me why you left or lost your last job? Mm-hmm. They are very, very, very keen on this question because if you say something bad about your boss, if you say something bad about the firm you were with, you're dead. Mm-hmm. You're dead. They're not going to hire you because you say something bad about them, you're going to say something bad about your future employer. So mm-hmm. it's always very positive. You have to rehearse this thing and just come up with a positive thing. Well, it's just one of these things where the person who I report to, very smart, very, very smart, and I just didn't see eye to eye on one of the key issues, and we both thought it was best for me to move on. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you handle that.
Sandra, how do I maximize my references, and whom should I try to include on that list and avoid?
Well, here's the little secret that very few people are aware of. And unless you have a good friend or friends as recruiters, you'll never, ever know this. But when recruiters start checking your references, of course, they'll go through the list that you gave them, but then they will go far beyond that list and start calling the chairman of the board, not the human resources director, but someone else in human resources mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. who they've met before. Mm-hmm. They will call former underlings of yours mm-hmm. and former peers of mm-hmm. yours mm-hmm. to really ascertain what this person is all about.
Get the more complete picture.
Yeah, so what you must do, which very few people do, is before you leave the firm, you write a note, write a letter, and in the letter you articulate why you left the firm and have human resources and your former boss agree to the verbiage. Let them edit it. Mm-hmm. Let them edit it. But you have to be saying, you have to be saying the same things right. that they are
exactly.
saying. Or you're dead. Mm-hmm. So many people that I know have done so far with the committee, various search committees, they've done well, and all of a sudden they don't get the job. Mm-hmm. And they don't get the job because you are telling the recruiter something very different than they're hearing from your
boss. Who's out of sync with what the other person said.
And you don't get the job. And that's what happens. So that's a little secret. Write a letter. Have them edit the letter, but be sure you both are saying the same things or you're dead.
All great stuff, and all can be found in Sandra's new book, The Best Thing That Ever Happened to You, How a Career Reversal Can Reinvigorate Your Life. We've been speaking to Sandra Flaum. Sandra, thank you so much.
Thank you, David, for having me.
AMA webinars provide 90 minutes of focused how-to instruction and specific solutions for solving your most pressing work issues. For $149, you'll participate in an in-depth course taught by an expert who will answer your questions and guide you through the process a step at a time. For a complete schedule of upcoming AMA webinars, visit our events calendar at amanet.org/events. Here at the AMA, we value your feedback. If you've ever attended any of our webcasts, webinars, or seminars, you've no doubt encountered our feedback surveys. Well, our podcasts are no different. You can either email us at podcast@amanet.org or call 800-697-3406. Your comments may become part of a future program. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.